think that's where you're at today. You're in the land of Nod. So, but I hope you're not. I hope to wake you up a little bit. But let's begin our reading in Genesis chapter number 4. Before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I do ask you to help me to say the things that are pleasing to thee. And Lord, in the manner and way which they ought to be said. Bring to remembrance the things that I've studied, things that, Lord, I've been taught, things that you'd want us to hear and want us to know. Lord, things that we need in our own personal walk in life. Bring to remembrance things we've forgotten. Lord, begin to stir in our heart, dear Lord, a desire, Lord, to go draw closer to thee. Lord, if there's someone here that does not know you as Savior, I pray by your Spirit that you'd open their eyes to see that they need a Savior. And Lord, that today they would say yes to thee and yield their life, their heart, their all to thee, I pray. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter number 4, verse number 1, it says, And Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto him, Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength, nor a fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. From thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. I don't know what that mark was. I know there's a lot of people's ideas, and I don't know what it was. And we're not going to deal with a mark. I hope you don't get caught up on those things. What was the mark that was on Cain? I want to deal with the subject there in verse number 7. The little statement it says, And the Lord's dealing with Cain and talking to him and reasoning with him. And he says, Sin lieth at the door. Sin lieth at the door. You know the story of Adam and Eve. There, just a few chapters, the third chapter, first chapter, God gave a glorious creation. In chapter number 2, God gives man's purpose. Man finds fulfillment as he follows the Lord and obedience to the Lord. And then in chapter number 3, you see the fall of man. You see the fall of man plunges all of creation under curse. And you and I are living under the curse of sin because of what Adam and Eve did in the third chapter of Genesis. And here they had their first son was Cain. Their second son was Abel. And God had made a promise in the third chapter that promise that He would send the seed of the woman would crush the serpent or Satan's head. And so they were looking for that blessed promise. And so when Cain was born, the first young man, she almost in a sense you could picture as she lifted her hands to the Lord and said, I have received a man from the Lord. She didn't say that about Abel. She said it about Cain because she believed Cain was going to be that finished seed, that promised seed. She was looking for it because her heart was hurt. Because she knew that because of her and her husband's sin, they had fallen and been pushed out of paradise and had lost all the blessing and the fellowship they had with the Lord. And so I believe in her heart she wanted to have and redeem, see that redemption come through that seed, but many thousands of years, at least 4,000 years would pass by before God would say to Mary that she was blessed, she was the one to have that seed of the woman. And so when you come here, Cain, it's amazing to me, such promise, such things in her mother's heart to think that he was the seed to go to the place, if you go to the 16th chapter or 16th verse, to see that he was pushed out or went away from the presence of the Lord. From the presence of the Lord. Matter of fact, if you had to put on his epitaph of his gravestone, you would put the 16th verse there, that statement, that he was cast out or he left. Let's read it. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. A man that was basically pushed away from the presence of the Lord. Abel, the Bible just says that Cain was the tiller of the ground and Abel was a keeper of sheep. Makes it specific. Not just cattle, he was a keeper of sheep. And so when they brought this offering, they were, both of them, the Bible says in the process of time, they brought an offering. And instead of Cain bringing the offering that God required, he brought the things of his hands, the things he wrought, the things that he worked for, the things he thought was enjoyable, the things that were beautiful to him, and they were. They weren't what God wanted. So God said he was did not have respect for Cain's offering. Yet Abel, he said he had respect for Abel's offering. Now Abel was the younger brother, and so there was already a prominence placed on the firstborn. And Cain, God begins to talk to him there, and he says to him in verse number 7, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." He said, "Look, you'll just do that which is right. You'll have your same position with me as you always had." God's given him another chance. He said, "Sin's lying at the door." And yet the Bible says in the process of time that Cain, I guess it began to fester in his heart. The Bible talks about Abel as being a prophet. And so he's sitting, I'm sure Abel probably began to talk to him, "If you just bring the blood sacrifice." But he got it. I believe he lured him into the field, but regardless, they called him into the field and he rose up against his brother and he slew him and killed him. I don't know what he did with him. I can't imagine. Here it is, the first murder. The first two sons, first two men there besides Adam, there in this earth, and he slays or slaughters his own brother and drags him somewhere, probably some ditch, and puts a pile of dirt over him and goes his way. And then God begins to question him and says, "What hast thou done? Where's thy brother?" And yet he answers with such callousness. He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" So it brings us really to God, these questions that God, the same way he questioned Adam and Eve, God knew the answer to these questions. "Where art thou? Have you eaten the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?" God knew those questions, but he's trying to get them to understand. And the same thing, God is asking these questions to Cain, even before he sinned in verse number 6. "Why art thou wroth? Why are you angry? Why is thy countenance fallen?" He said, "Why are you so distressed?" He goes on, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" He's trying to ask him questions. Then he has to ask him later on after he kills. It didn't help him any. Still went his own way. God asked him, "What have you done to your brother?" And I thought, how in the world, in my mind, could a son that's been said, "I have begotten a man child from the Lord," go so far to say he's been cast out or went from the presence of the Lord? How'd that happen? It happened by this statement that I brought to the forefront of the title, "Because sin lieth at the door." God gives us a story. It may not be a story that we want to hear, but God records it in Scripture. And out of this recording, I want to just share with you some things that I believe that we need to be reminded of, we need to see again. First off, I want to just bring the attention first is God's way. God's way. Verse number 3, if you look back with me, it says, "And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground," this is what it says, "an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his" what? "Offering." And so God's way was to bring an offering, but not to bring the offering of his own hands, of his own works. That wasn't what God's way was. And so Abel had brought a little lamb. The Bible says there that he was, in verse number 2, that Abel was a keeper of the sheep. So we know he brought a lamb. And so Abel brought a little lamb. Abel brought the just for the unjust. Abel brought the life of the innocent in place of the guilty. Abel brought the way that he had been taught by his parents. Look, if you would, in the third chapter, in the verse number 21. Genesis 3, verse 21, it says, Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Now, they tried to clothe their own self with those aprons, those made aprons out of fig leaves. But God had to give them a covering. That covering had to be with blood. And so he had to kill the just or the innocent for the guilty. Adam and Eve were guilty. And so he made a covering. So he slaughtered those innocent little animals that Adam actually named many of them. And then took of their hide or their furs and made them a covering, but also that blood at least temporarily covered their sin. It pointed actually to the cross. And so they knew exactly. Matter of fact, Eve knew exactly and Adam knew exactly what the seed of the promise of the woman was. They understood it fully. That's why she said, I have received God's seed. I have received the promise. They knew it. They had instructed their young men. They knew to bring an offering. But the Bible says in the process of time. So in an ordinary, that Cain had been bringing the right offering. But here later on, in his own heart, he began to bring what he wanted to bring. The works of his own hands. That wasn't God's way. Turn, if you would, to Genesis or Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to look at verse number 4 with me. The Bible talks about Abel there. Hebrews 11, verse number 4, this is what it says. Hebrews 11, 4 says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. Abel knew what to bring. The Bible says that Abel brought of that little lamb and the fat thereof. He brought a bloody sacrifice. That wasn't beautiful to Cain. Not beautiful to a lot of people. They don't want to get away from the blood. But without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 9, or Hebrews chapter 9, I believe it is. And we were there in Hebrews. I don't have this marked, don't have it written down, but I believe it's here in these verses. I can find it. Hope you all got time. Verse number 22, it says, verse 21, moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Remission is payment. Payment for sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no payment of sin. That is God's way. God's way has always been from Genesis to Revelations, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason why we sung, when I see the blood, I'll pass over thee, or at least when I survey the wondrous cross. And so I want to just list some things there to you, that even though Cain may have thought that his sacrifice was beautiful, even though he worked hard with his hands, even though he labored with toil and with sweat, and even though he thought that which was right, that which was what he thought was beautiful, he laid it there. Maybe it was flowers, maybe it was, I'm sure it was fruits and vegetables and spices and everything of beauty. Somebody said it may have looked like a farmer's market. How beautiful it was. But it wasn't what God required. Many of us will say, well, you know, that's a really small thing. Why didn't God just overlook it? Because God would cease to be holy if he overlooked sin. And so God, in his holiness, required this offering. And yet he brought his works of his own hand. And so that wasn't God's way. When you look in Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 22, it says, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, it says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. There are a lot of people, even religions nowadays, they believe if they can pay just enough money, they can have redemption. They can pay their way into heaven. Or they can pray their loved one out of purgatory. The Bible says clearly in the Scriptures, He says, we are not redeemed or paid or covered with corruptible things as silver and gold. Verse number 19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Remember when John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. God gave that song I mentioned just a few minutes ago that He says, we sing, not today, but often when I see the blood, I'll pass over thee. The Lord told His children of Israel when they were in Egypt. They had been in bondage for 400 years. And the last there, God said, if you'll put the blood upon the doorpost and on the lintels, He said, when that death angel comes through, He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. You know, many people think, you know what, I can put something beautiful, maybe some beautiful poetry. I can put some beautiful works in my hand like Cain. And the death angel will pass over. It's not God's way. God's way is only by the blood. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Every Levitical priest, when he would offer that blood sacrifice, that little innocent lamb, every one of those Levitical lambs were a picture pointing to the cross and pointing to Christ. Because without that shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There has to be a blood sacrifice, and that blood sacrifice has to be perfect, has to be holy, has to be eternal, and only Christ could do that. Man could not do that. I heard one man say, he said, if you could take all the men of the earth that would be great statesmen, maybe great politicians, maybe great lawyers, doctors, you name it, all those men that you, whether it be with all that integrity, he said, if you were to take all their great faculties and all their great qualities and all their great character and integrity and put it in one man, he said, that would not be enough to cover the sin debt. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could do that. And there has to be a perfect, holy blood of God in order to cover that. Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 11. We know this verse. We've heard it quoted. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. The Bible talks about there before. It says the accuser of the brethren. You know who the accuser of the brethren is? Satan. Satan. Matter of fact, he would come there. He would accuse, even before God's throne, he accuses maybe me, because I'm one of His children. And says, you see what Ben Sewell does? You see what he did? The only testimony that I have is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't say, you know what, I did good works. You know what I did that day? I may have done this evil deed, but there was more good deeds that outweighed that evil day for that day. I can't say that, but that's what Cain was doing when he brought of his own hands. He was trying to say that God's sacrifice is not what I want. What I offer is beautiful and should be good enough. But that's not what the Bible teaches. And that's not what God shows us. He says, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. Do you have the testimony of anything other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you do, you need to check your salvation. Because there's only one way. We've covered, our sins are covered. That's by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Don't ever get away from the blood. Don't ever get away from the songs that speak of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's His blood that purges us and washes us from our sins. That's God's way. We saw it from the beginning in Genesis chapter number 3. All the way to the end of the book of Revelation, where we overcame Him and overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb. And I say this, not only God's way, but how about Cain's way? Cain's way. Look, if you would, back with me in Genesis chapter number 4. Now I want you to look at verse number 3. It says, and in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now remember, Cain brought of the works of his hands. He was the tiller of the what? Tiller of the ground. He was a farmer. And so he brought those things that he thought was right. He brought his own works. The picture of type of man's works. Let me give you a verse. In Titus chapter number 3, verse number 5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Where's that washing of regeneration? Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God fills us with His Spirit. And so there's nothing that you and I can do by our own works, by our own merit. Many people believe they can join a church and that will put them on God's roll. They believe they can have follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Look, they ought to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. But water will not save us. It pictures and it testifies. Many people believe you can partake of the Lord's Supper. And that'll save us. That somehow that bread or that juice will turn into the blood or to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing in Scriptures that teaches that. And there's no any holiness within that sacrament other than just a following of obedience. It's something we ought to do. It's something that God gave us. But those things will not give us any merit to God's throne. And man is constantly doing this, trying to do good works. And they may not state it like Cain, but if they're trusting in anything that we could do or you could do yourself, that's the way of Cain. Jude says, the way they have gone in the way of Cain. The way of Cain was by works, by the natural flesh, what we could do. And so many people are in church today, and it looks just like it's religion, and it looks beautiful. They go through all the ritual, but it doesn't do anything to take their heart and sanctify their soul. Not one thing. And so you can go through all the beauties. Let me give you an outline that I ran across. I was reading last night Dr. John Phillips on people in the Old Testament. And he gave an outline of Cain. I thought it was a good outline. I'm going to give it to you. He says that Cain, he was a religious man, but he took reason instead of revelation. He was a religious man, but he took beauty in place of blood. He said he was a religious man, but he took trying in place of trusting. He said he was a religious man, but he took feelings in place of facts. And I thought, that's exactly right. All those things are true. And as I began to examine, and I began to look at this and meditate on this myself, I saw the things that Cain's way. Cain had rejected everything that God offered. The first thing he rejected was God's authority in his life. He had his mother and his father. You know, Cain couldn't say, I am what I am because of my grandfather's side, that drunk on his side, or that evil aunt. He couldn't say anything. He only had Adam and Eve was all he had. And so Abel and Cain, exactly the same, just two different young men. So he couldn't blame on anything else. All he did is he rejected the authority that God placed in his life. That was his mother and father. Many times, parents will lead their children wrong. Not on purpose. They're loving parents. But Adam and Eve did not lead Abel and Cain wrong. That's how they knew what sacrifice they needed to bring. Because they had been instructed by their mother and father. But instead, he went his own way. And so he rejected that authority. Brother, that is very serious. When you reject the authority that's over you, especially as a young child, and you as a parent don't cause them to respect authority, they will not respect authorities in their life, whether it be their teacher, whether it be a law, a policeman, or whether it be God Almighty. When God says this is what you ought to do, and they won't do it. That's exactly what Cain did. He rejected the authority that God gave him. And so yet he rejected God. And not only that, he rejected God's Word. And like I said, it's not by happenstance they knew. They knew exactly. I've already read to you Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4, that God had respect. And he said that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And declared that he was righteous. Because what was it? How does a man get saved? A man gets saved by faith in what God's Word says and takes it by faith and receives it as his own. And so God has to first give His Word in order for we can believe it. Right? And so they had God's Word, and by faith Abel believed it and offered. And so if a person says, I believe, well, faith always brings forth a believing in their heart and an obedience to the Lord. And so it brings action. It brings works. It's not works that saves us. It's faith that saves us. But faith produces works. Not to be saved, but because we are saved. And Abel believed the Lord. And it was counted unto him for righteousness, just like it was in Abraham. Can I say, not only did he reject his parents, he rejected God's word, but he also rejected God's reasoning. Look, you would, back in the fourth chapter, and I want you to look at the reasoning. It's amazing to me how that God reasoned with Cain. And he reasoned with him. Look at what it says in verse number 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? He said, look, why are you discouraged? He goes on to say in the seventh verse, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If you'll just bring what God requires, he'll just make it right. I'll be right with you. You'll be right with me. I'll make it right. He says, if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. He said, if you don't do what I ask you to do, then sin lieth at the door. I'm not going to pass over it. But he's reasoning with him. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And so he reasons with Cain. There's a verse in Isaiah. He says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. First chapter of Isaiah, verse number 18. God wants to reason, and he does reason with people. And he tries to bring them, tries to work in their heart to bring them where they ought to be. And Cain, here it is, has already rejected his authority. He rejected God's word, but yet God is still reasoning with him to bring him back unto himself. And so he rejected the reasoning that God brought, but he also rejected this. He rejected God's mercy. He rejected God's mercy. Verse number 7, when you look at that word, that statement, sin lieth at the door. That was God's mercy. It was another opportunity to make it right. There's many times in a church service when you know the Lord's speaking to you, or maybe some other place where God's dealing with your heart. That's God's mercy. When you can still hear His voice and still hear His pleading, that's God's mercy. But eventually, people sent away the day of grace. And that's exactly what Cain did. He sent away his day of grace. God had offered His mercy to him and said, sin lieth at the door. Some people believe that the little lamb, he was almost saying that the lamb that you need to offer is at your own doorstep. If you'll go get it, if you'll offer it, I'll recognize it, and I'll honor it, and I'll cover you. But he wouldn't do it. Whether it was that true or not, he's still saying, if sin lieth at the door, you can make it right. But he wouldn't make it right. And in every way, he rejected authority. He rejected God's word. He rejected God's reasoning. And he rejected God's mercy. He sinned away his day of grace. That's Cain's way. And for many people, that's man's way. Cain's way. Can I say this? Let me just put the last one in quickly. It's sin's sway. God's way, Cain's way, but put down sin's sway. Sin's way. Or I could say in its sway. I want you to look in verse chapter number 4, and I want you to look at verse number 3. It says, in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Process of time. Didn't happen immediately. He said, just the process of time. Then I want you to look, if you would, I believe it's in verse number 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass. Came to pass. And so both verses, you see, it came to pass. Didn't happen immediately that he brought the offering of fruits and vegetables. Before, he was bringing the right offering. But it came to pass in a little bit of time. He brought his own offering. Then you look at the 8th verse. He didn't just set out and murder, I believe, Abel immediately. That it came to pass. A space of time went by. But it happened. What happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. Sin happened. Sin still lied at the door of his heart. Sin was not covered. Sin was not cleansed. Sin was not redeemed. And so that sin was still there. And because he let that sin work in his heart, it began to work a hardness. And he had a heart of stone. You could see the progress of what he said. He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Who was his brother keeper? In a sense, he was. But in an older sense, he's almost saying, "I'm not his keeper. But Lord, who is? Who's my keeper today?" I can tell you who is. God is. But almost in a sense, he said, "I'm not my brother's keeper. If he died, it's almost your fault. You didn't protect him." I don't know if he said that, but I know in his heart, he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Not my brother. How callous can you get to drag your only brother and put him off and bury him in a place when God asked you, he said, "I don't know where he's at." Lied to the Lord. There was lying. You see the downfall? There's murder. There's jealousy. There's anger. All because he did not deal with the sin that lied at the door. And so when you look at these things, you had to say, what's the downfall? What's the sin? I want to tell you, we know that the root of sin is pride. Someone has said the third chapter of Genesis is the root of sin, but the fourth chapter of Genesis is the fruit of it. And that's true. But we do know that the root of sin is pride. What caused Satan to fall from his exalted position to down to the pits of hell was pride. There was pride in the fact that he rejected his parents' truth. It was pride that rejected God's truth. It was pride that rejected God's mercy. But I'll tell you, out of that pride brought forth a fruit. And out of fruit not being redeemed, there was an anger. And that anger not being redeemed, not being cleansed, brought forth jealousy. And out of jealousy not being dealt with, brought forth a hatred. And out of a hatred, it brought forth a murder. And out of murder, brought forth a rejection of God. All because of sin's sway in the process of time. It came to pass. You know, we think many times we toy with sin. We think, you know what? It's not a big deal. You say, well, God's going to let me get away with it. But in the process of time, it will come to pass. We don't put it under the blood. You may be here as a Christian. There's sin in your life. I can tell you and give you some advice that was given to me. You need to put it under the blood. And you need to make it right. That's not just saying, "Lord, I confess." That's saying, "Lord, I turn from that sin and I turn to Thee." Not for salvation, but for sanctification, for cleansing, for relationship with the Lord. There are people here that may be lost. Don't know. They're like Cain. They've been off in their own way, trusting in their own self, trusting in their own works. There is only one way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." That's God's way. And it hadn't changed, and it'll never change. God's way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.